Hello and welcome back to another episode of the CrossFit Hour podcast. We are episode 18. Hope we are all doing very, very well. This is just a follow-on actually from last week's podcast. We spoke about respecting the hierarchy and the base of the hierarchy being nutrition. So hopefully that you found that pretty useful. And the next step into that hierarchy is metabolic conditioning. And I hear you say or ask, what is metabolic conditioning? Well, I think the easiest way to explain it, before I give you like kind of almost a definition, I think is just essentially how efficient your body can, in theory, give and produce and give you energy. So you can look at metabolic or Metcon for short, for example, is exercises that increase the amount of energy stored and released by the body. That is as simple as it is. It's usually a combination of weightlifting and cardio-based movements, a little bit like strength conditioning in a way, both aerobic, so using oxygen, and anaerobic, using generally a lot less oxygen. So short sprint stuff, high power stuff, whilst obviously aerobic will be the long, slower kind of stuff. So that's what we're talking about when we say Metcons and metabolic conditioning. And usually those Metcons can last anywhere between like 4 and 12 to 15 minutes, really. It can last up to 20. It's still a Metcon, but you will generally increase power with a little bit of a shorter Metcon. You can, for example, you can go a little bit heavier with a shorter Metcon. So you could have a Metcon that is like 8 minutes long, and that might be an AMRAP of 8 minutes, and you're going to do one heavy deadlift. So that might be like a 95% of your one rep max, 90% of your one rep max, for example, really heavy. You might then do something like 5 handstand push-ups, and then you might do 9 burpees over your bar. And in that 8 minutes with something like that, for the average person, you're maybe going to be going not super fast. You probably accumulate something like 6, I would imagine somewhere like 6 rounds, 4 to 6 rounds, something like that, as an example. So you've got a heavy movement in there, you've got a body weight gymnastics movement, which we're going to talk about, and then some sort of conditioning aerobic movement in there. There's various, that's not the only kind of Metcon, there's loads. You just go on crossfit.com, every workout on there is a Metcon. You can look through them, there's hundreds, probably millions actually, or probably a million rather. But the reason I want to talk to you about these Metcons is because it's this next, as I said, the next part of the hierarchy. And in order for you to get very, very good at fitness, let's say, especially with CrossFit, and be very good at it, it's been able to be in that Metcon zone and work out effectively and efficiently. And I think the biggest thing to take away from this, I think, if you're open to it, is that as weightlifters or CrossFitters, we get, and gym goers, we just get so obsessed with the amount of weight that we can put on and the fastest we can do something. So the clock goes 3, 2, 1, it's just boom, 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 go. But actually, why can't it be, or why isn't it, and it should be, how efficient can I make this? Because I'm going to then be able to go faster the more efficient I become. So kind of the way that I can describe this to you is, if, you know, for those of you who've, I don't know, into your cars, I don't know if there's any other products that we could maybe talk about. When you go buy a car, one of the things that you think about is the fuel efficiency. How expensive is it going to be for you to buy a car that costs a lot of money to run, and or is it inefficient in fuel? Now, if it's inefficient in fuel, it's most likely going to change your mind, or you buy it and then soon realize that you fucked up somewhere along the line. And in theory, you can apply that to your training, right? If you're going too hard, too fast all the time, you're becoming very, very inefficient, and you're slowly going to want a refund on your investment in terms of your health, where you're going to either stop the training program that you're doing, or you're just going to go and do something else. And the reality is that if we don't understand the pacing strategy to a Metcon, No one wants to be in that hurt locker. Like, and I think this is part of the reason as to why training has been adopted in my own personal eyes, my own experiences. And obviously, the older we get, there becomes more wisdom, there becomes more experience with that. But when I, between the ages of like, you know, 18, 19, and probably up until I was like 27, maybe 28 tops, I could go in that hurt locker. I, blood, sweat, and tears. I would do whatever it took to get, you know, but that's naivety in a way, lack of, I wouldn't say experience, like maybe maturity or just ego in a way, I would probably say. But not intentionally, I think sometimes it would get the better, but not intentionally, I wouldn't go into it with ego. But we can come away from training not feeling beat up. And I've said this before, that training should build us up, not break us down. But the CrossFit view, not the view of CrossFit, the way that people perceive CrossFit is that I've got to lift something heavy and then I've got to fucking work hard for 5 to 15 minutes. And it's not really the case. And I think we look at things on a very micro scale. We think about what we do in that hour, but we don't think about what we do for the whole, like, whole year. If you set yourself and said, right, I'm going to actually make this change in training over the next 12 to 24 months. If you can change that perspective on training, you're going to have a much better journey with whatever that you do than if you just look at, take it day by day. Because things need to be periodized. You're gonna find that you're gonna feel in better moods for different times of the year. You know, just naturally, work's gonna be always gonna be there, but work takes over sometimes. We let it kind of infiltrate into our own personal lives and stuff. So it's important to understand. And I think, you know, speaking to the team, we're trying to do an even better job of educating the importance of scaling for those metacons and that metabolic condition. Because if you can hold back, and I think I've mentioned this before, I forget, if we can think about like giving, I'm not saying that you have to give less effort. It's not what I'm asking, but I'm saying if you can give 85% of your maximum, right, over the course of 7 days, rather than give 100% in day one, 75% in day two, because you're just not recovered and you're feeling drained, and then 65% day three, and it just goes down, you're gonna be in such a better position. So scaling is important, but the question I have to ask you is, do you care about that? Do you care about how efficient it is? Do you care about those things? And I think this comes from changing the angle of why you're training, right? I think we live in the world that you're training for the importance of maybe looking good for yourself or maybe someone else or for whatever other reasons. But I want you to think about like how, question yourself now, and how long do you plan to train for? Because if you plan to train and, you know, do that forever until the day that you die, or reasonably for a long time, you know, in the next 20, 30, 40 years, then why do you need to achieve everything right now? Because you're not going to be able to achieve everything for 20 to 30 years. Every time you go into the gym, you're going to hit a PB, you can get your fight. You're not going to be able to do that. You're just going to be ticking the box to keep moving and work towards the ultimate goal of staying away from ill health, disease, and living as long as possible. I think if we look at the perspective of that and how long you want to be on this planet, then I think that you really need to change, we need to change, not you personally, maybe personally, but we need to change how we approach training, because it's not necessarily about the now. So metcons are important because they get to use different energy systems. There's three, there's loads of information on the CrossFit website and the CrossFit Journal about that. Oxidative, glycolic, phosphate, creatine. Energy systems, different free energy systems will be used within those metcons, and the beauty of it is you can have so much fun, especially, you know, for me programming, you can have so much fun writing them, but it's important of scaling, right? If there's a workout that's designed for you to work in a 12 minute capacity and it takes you 20 minutes to do that workout, well, you haven't scaled efficiently. You've used up way too much energy for something that should have been done 8 minutes prior to that. So why are we so obsessed with task completion of, right, well, I need to get this done. Why can't we be obsessed with the efficiency of that task completion? Would you not much rather work for the 12 minutes than work for the 20? 20 doesn't mean that you're working harder or working for longer. You can work for longer, sorry, it does mean you're working for longer, but not as efficient, as effectively. You can work for longer, but the expense of wasting away and using, expending so much energy, that then it takes you very long to recover. You keep doing that in the, over, you know, the space of 6 months or 12 months of doing, of training, you're going to find yourself in a position where you probably maybe no longer enjoy what you're doing, or maybe not seeing the results that you want to see. The hard thing about scaling, I think, for people is a perception of how they've made to feel about it. Like you failed if you scaled. But scaling and doing something lighter is better at times, because it means that you can do more, you can go faster, if that's the goal, and you can get more work done in that time period, or whatever the task is for you to do, which I think is very important for you to come away from and think, well, actually, what, like, asking yourself the question is, like, you know, why am I doing this? Do I want to do this the right way, the best way, the way that's going to make me feel fucked after? I think that's a misconception, that, you know, you have to be on your back after a workout, laying down hands and knees or whatever. You don't. As I said, I think if you look at the bigger picture and think about, like, putting off ill health, then doing the workouts in an efficient time manner is much, much better. There's also, I mean, I can't remember if I've said this before. I don't know if anyone's ever heard this. There's theories and research, I think research, but definitely theories, of that our heart has only got a certain, and this is scary when you think about this, our heart has only got a certain amount of beats. So would you not want to reserve, if that is the case, would you not want to reserve those beats for as long as possible and reserve energy and work as efficiently as possible? I keep using the same terminology, the same words, and he's increased my vocabulary. But that's the message with that, with regards to Metcon. And then on top of the Metcon, you know, you've got things like gymnastics and weightlifting on top of that. And it's done it's done in that order. Gymnastics does come before weightlifting. And the reason gymnastics come before weightlifting is because it's the whole core to extremity. We need to be able to control things such as our body, you know, our body and how we move our body before we can control external forces. All these suggestions that I'm talking about in this podcast and last week was something that someone, a listener, had sent in for me to talk about. And I think it's fantastic. I think it's great because it gives me an opportunity to talk about new things in that sense that I haven't come up with. But the core to extremity business, if we think about, and the point that he made, if we think about injuries, right, a lot of the injuries come, I mean, you're generally unlucky if you pick up an acute injury, right, or something on impact, but most of the injuries we have are chronic. They don't just come overnight. There are a series of things that you're doing wrong over time that lead you to that injury. Even if, you know, for those you listening to me for a long time, even the injury that I had, I know that it was definitely a chronic injury that I had. The certain things I was doing wrong, posture, the way that I was sitting, hip tilt. For example, for a very long time, I remember putting my wallet in my back pocket, in my jeans, my left pocket, right? Now you sit down with that and drive, and all of a sudden, if you think about how your hips then shift, right? You do that over a series of time. You get out of the car, you start warming up. Think about that hip tilt that you've just, or I had caused myself, right? So it's something that you should be aware of, that, right, if there's an injury, it's probably not because of the exercise or the something that I've just done, right? That's only going to happen if, you know, something on impact, or there's a dislocation or a break or something like that through impact, okay? But gymnastics is so important, because if we can't control our body, if we're failing to do things like push-ups, pull-ups, kind of those style things, then although we could do the weightlifting part, because weightlifting can be measured very easily, I think, right? It's almost, it is the same a little bit of gymnastics in terms of body weight stuff, right? With a weight, you can either pick it up or you can't, right? But with gymnastics, you can either do the movement or you can't. So you can either do a push-up or you pull up or you can't. But we don't look at it like that for some reason. We just say, oh, we can't do it. right? And then we then don't almost work towards that. What we do is we end up putting more weight on the barbell, and that the disparity between the weight, because we keep adding weight over periods of time, that gets the gap between the two just get bigger. So controlling our body weight becomes harder, but moving weight in theory becomes easier. But that doesn't mean we move weight well. We just get an opportunity to move weight and keep adding weight, and we keep testing strength. So we keep getting stronger in those move in that, but we get weaker in the other things. And I do think that we all do maybe become quite obsessed with the weight element of training. I think there is definitely something satisfying about picking up a weight and seeing a progression. We do, don't get me wrong, we do absolutely need weight training as part of our training. But I think it needs to be very well balanced between establishing gymnastics first. We need to be able to figure out those components of pushing and pressing. This doesn't necessarily have to be things like handstand push-ups. It's very CrossFit related. It's not very much, you know, there's not going to be loads of opportunity in your life where you're going to be upside down against the wall pushing yourself up. Probably not. But it's very likely that you're going to need to pull yourself up over something, or it's very likely that you're going to have to press yourself out of, you know, the floor or something along those lines. So push-ups, pull-ups are the easy examples. You could even add a rope climb into that. That you just never know. That might be something that you might need to do. You could even look at the kipping perspective of how to use your hips in that hollow, right? That hollow position and arch in order to create momentum for you to get from A to B. I don't know. Let's say that you're stuck somewhere and the only way for you to do that is to start that whole swing process in order for you to allow for more momentum for that jump, for you to jump onto something. I don't know. Some bullshit like that. Okay. If we could master those things and become very, very good at it, well, first of all, we're going to expend less energy when we go back into a Metcon because we're moving efficiently at those. And secondly, we become stronger all round because we have very high power from core to extremity. So let me actually get you up a definition of that, because that might be easier for those. Core to extremity is a principle that during a movement, our body utilizes the largest muscle group first and progresses outwards towards the smaller muscle groups. All of the movements we do in CrossFit originate from the core, right? So whatever it is that we're doing, the task that we're doing, needs to come from, let's say, the center of mass before we go further away. Maybe that's a better way to explain it. But if we can control those factors, everything else then becomes easier. Hopefully, they should. So putting this all in order, if you can get that Metcon, understanding that Metcon, understand that pacing of scaling, right, finding the intent, the why, and I actually, funny enough, speaking about this to Tristan yesterday, we were talking about how much we're gonna, or continue to try, to educate people about the why of why we're doing something. What is the purpose of what we're doing? Because if we don't understand the purpose and we don't know the why, then how do we, I guess in a way, how do we look to get better? So let's look at that from a scaling purpose, right? So let's say we try and do a pull-up, right? And we can't do a pull-up. Now, if we look at the different scaling options that we use, if we can get you to understand the why, why this is important and how we should be doing this in order for you to lead to getting that very first pull-up, for example, we can't just, so, using a band, great, it gets you to that full range of motion and there's an element of strength there, but the lack of tension doesn't necessarily help, and then the band doesn't translate as well as doing another variation of doing your scaled pull-up. But sometimes people take the scale as that means that I'm shit, or I don't want to be seen that I'm regressing. Well, actually it's not. What you're doing is you're slingshotting, right? You're pulling that slingshot back like 1 to 2 steps, not to make it easier, right? You're pulling it back to gain a bigger launch so that your progress is going to be greater to the person next to you who says, actually, I don't want to scale because I want to do a pull-up, and the ego comes in the way, and still understanding the whole purpose of why scaling is important. If we can get all those factors in that Metcon it aligned, right? Because the other consideration that we need to think about is also heart rate. If I had a penny for every time I said to someone, don't go out too hot, hold yourself, hold fire, and then I'll tell you when to go. Like, as in when you can put your foot down. If I had a penny for every time that someone done the complete opposite to that, I would be living a very different lifestyle than I would be now. It's so important that, and I think we become obsessed with this, and I never really think that this used to happen before. I don't know, maybe I was naive to it. I think before the CrossFit came along where things were measured around distance, time, rounds and reps, etc. Before that happened, I think we were generally, you know, a little bit slower in moving. But as soon as we hear that 3-2-1, we just fucking all systems go, bang, 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 bang. Now, I think part of the reason that we do that is because we see the people at the top doing that, right? But they don't always do that. And sometimes the reason that they do that is because they understand their body capabilities so well. There's so much data that they understand. They understand the zones that they're training in. They understand their output. They understand how quickly they can recover. They understand the variables that are part of that workout, the life around it, everything else. But listen, we are fucking normal people that are putting off ill health and death as opposed to trying to compete for money. So if we can make something more efficient, there's no blood on the line or no money on the line for us to win or lose. Every day's a win because we get to wake up and do something that we love. Sorry, I might have just made some of you vomit in your mouth at me saying that. But if we can think about holding fire, right? So when that 3-2-1 clock goes and we need to work out for 12 to 15 minutes, working out to 12 to 15 minutes is not easy, right? But it can be made a lot easier understanding how to expend energy. Because I'm not saying that you have to start like a snail, but if you start slower where you get to increase your pace, so that towards the end of those 12 to 15 minutes, you can speed up and you can start getting quicker with your times or with your movement, it's a different story. But if you start too fast and you go heart rate like 190, 200 beats per minute, for some of you that do get there, the 12 minutes is going to feel like half an hour. It's just going to zap you. It is just, you're going to get nothing done, and it's, you're going to feel after, there's just, I think there's two ways, right? I think if you're quite aware, I say quite aware, if you have more awareness than others, you're going to realize that you fucked up. And if you don't, which is unfortunately quite a high percentage of the fitness population, if you don't, I think what generally tends to happen is people measure that as a great workout because they feel fucked. And that's just not it anymore. And if that's you, that's cool. If that's what you want to do, you want to go to any gym, whether it be CrossFit Harrow, CrossFit blah, 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 CrossFit whoever, or any other gym, and you want to move it, you want to go into that gym and you want to just smash out a 30-minute workout or, you know, 15-minute strength piece and a 15-minute, well, however you want to do it, and you just want to get in there and feel fucked, fair play to you, that's what you want to do, right? However, I would say that if you're going somewhere that you're paying to be coached and going somewhere to be wanting to improve, then I think you should take the advice of generally most of the coaches that will give you the advice of like saying, hold on, slow down. And often a lot of us will look at as coaches as you know, role models in terms of fitness, and so you should. It's a good role model to have. Most will set an example. And the example that they will go with is in those type of workouts, whether you see it for the open or you see them training and whatnot, they will show you that they are generally, 9 times out of 10, they are doing the right thing and living by their own ethos. There is a catch to that though. There is a catch. You will also sometimes on the flip side see to that someone who is accustomed and to themselves of training, you know, multiple hours per day where they have a lot more volume, where the intent is sometimes to feel like you've got nothing left because they're wanting to compete for something. But we look at that thinking, oh, I wish I could do that, but not understanding the steps that were done way before that. And I think we often, you know, we often see the tip of the iceberg and not the stuff underneath it, right? And I think it just, it's perspective. It's what we see. We don't see that stuff. You don't see the stuff that goes behind the scenes, the amount of work that goes into it, whatever it is, whether it's someone, you know, a business, whether it's starting a business, where it's starting your fitness journey. There's a lot of work that goes on underneath the layers that you actually see that come out, right? So if you can take that step back, and maybe for some people it would help seeing their heart rate, right? I think I'm by no way sponsored by Whoop, but I did tell you that I, and this is not a plug to them either, but I did tell you that I reinvested into a Whoop band because I was struggling with high stress, energy, sleep, all those things. And I've been wearing this Whoop band for now for a little while. By the way, the ice baths are great, still great, still on it, still doing it. But what I've managed to do with this Whoop, it will tell me obviously the amount of sleep, the recovery, which is important to me, but it will tell me my strain for the day. And the way that I look at that is essentially how ready I am to perform. So it will tell me on the day, based on the measurements that it gives me in terms of heart rate variability, heart rate, sleep, all those things, energy output, etc. It will tell me what my ideal strain is, right? And I can tell you since last Thursday, I have been under recovered because I've been quite stressed about obviously the gym. I wasn't keen on closing for the length of time that we did. Unfortunately, it was just one of those things that we had to do. It doesn't happen often, once in the blue moon, but we had to do it. It's quite stressful for me with all the things going on and also the impact that it has on others. It's a lot of weight on someone's shoulders. So today's the first day that I've actually gone back in the green, which means that recovered. But however, my strain, going back to the point of strain, is that within those days, because I'm under recovered, my body's can only take less strain, a certain amount. So the days, for example, that I have been recovered, prior to this last week, I think the strain goes up to like 21, 22. I could take, on the green days, I could take my strain up to like 18, 19. My body was ready to take that on. And that's great. And I listened to my body and I did. I took on that workload in terms of training. And it also measures by your daily output. It's not just training, right? But I was ready to take on a high strain day, which I did. Now, consequently, because of the stressful days I had, the body wasn't able to take as much strain as it was able to take. So rather than having like a strain of 18, it's saying that the most that you should really strain today is like 13.9, 14.1. And I've actually tried to listen to my body with that. So I haven't trained on particular days because of the high stress. Because what would happen then is I would never get out of that. Recovery would be low, strain would be low. So you would just constantly never get out of that. You have to let, imagine training on top of that, you're just going to push that number down to zero. Or your body shuts down and there's an injury, ill health, whatever, right? The reason I'm telling you this is because if you're that person that is going hammer and tong all the time, you're not giving your body a chance to recover. Like, your body needs to recover and heal out of that training or just whatever it is that you're doing. And if, whether it be stress levels, stress doesn't have to come from external factors such as, you know, work, friendships, relationships, blah, 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 driving, whatever it might be. Stress also comes from training. Your body is put under stress when it trains. So having to think about you've got to give yourself that chance to recover and work within those zones. And maybe for some of us, if we looked at a heart rate monitor, we looked at knowing where our strain point was and that was optimum for our body, would that force us to slow down? As an example, I think a couple of weeks ago, we had a team training day and I actually had this strain thing on the screen. And whilst I was training on my phone, and because what I was doing, I felt I could do it faster and I was actually well under control. But ideal scenario, my body was telling me that you can do this, but if you go slower, you're going to be able to do it for longer. Although I listened and I felt that I could have done it for longer, I took on the advice of what it was telling me and I slowed down. I still done the same amount of work in that same time frame, kept my heart rate a little bit lower, and it meant that I could move around for 40 minutes without overexerting, because you can work out for 40 minutes, right? But it's how efficient you work out for those 40 minutes. You can overexert in those 40 minutes and take a few more days to recover. Or you can work out in those 40 minutes and actually the next day you can do another 40 minutes or of high intensity or whatever it might be. I think it's about understanding how our body does focus, how it does react. And as I said, this is not a plug for Whoop or whatnot, but I do have a code if anyone wants. I'm joking. I do. But it's more of a case of understanding how your body can react and cope with the demands of life, right? It is difficult, but I want you to think and leave it on this note, okay? If you can sort out your mentality towards Metcons and pacing. Pacing is a good thing. You should pace, right? The boundary is set high, or the expectation is set high, let's say from CrossFit, because as a fitness competitor, or as a fitness brand and the competitive side, there's money on the line for those athletes to win. So they have to set that bar high in terms of like weights. But if I've said this before in a gym, if we set those weights lower, you know, for example, rather than the RX being 60-40, if we set that RX at 40-20, then we'd look at it in a completely different limelight, right? We'd be overachievers, but sometimes we think we're underachievers because of the expectations set by someone else. But anyway, if we done those things scaled and we took that step back, we looked at working out more efficiently, we prioritized movement over the overweight. We looked at core to extremity, we looked at improving our gymnastics, and not adding weight, loads of weight to our weightlifting. There's an element of getting stronger, yes, but there's a balance between the two, so the gap between weightlifting and gymnastics doesn't get bigger. The core to extremity stuff, the gymnastic stuff, is gonna help reduce the risk of injury, as well as mobility, recovery, all those things. If we can do all those things, and look at training from a different perspective of, we're not training for right now. Yes, we're training for the unknownable and different events that life might throw at us and different challenges, but ultimately we are training to keep away from ill health, disease, and to put off death for as long as possible. I know that sounds really fucking crude, if that's the right word, but that's the reality, right? That is. We don't want a short life or a life for, you know, where we're in ill health, where we're dependent on someone else, or we're not able to do certain things. We want to express ourselves through fitness, but we need to do that smartly. If you can take that away and look at things from a different perspective, I think that your training journey with us, or whether it be with someone else, is going to dramatically change. Don't think of things on a micro, think of things on a macro, bigger picture of what you want to be in the next 10, or how you want to live and be in the next 10 to 15 years, with injuries, without injuries, with knee issues, with shoulder issues. How does that want to be, or how do you want to be in the next 10, 15 years, with kids, trying to play with them, or without, maybe without, and with your partner, you know, life experiences and the limitations that you might have. You're write your own story with that. And that's whether you're wanting to change it. That's up to you. So that's food for thought. But I hope you enjoyed that podcast, and we'll be back next week for another episode. See you soon.